Good evening, Rabbi Isai. We are in Chavis HaLevavis Shar HaBitochen, Perek Vav, toward the end, V'Hashvi. It's the last paragraph in the Perek. In my Leif Tov edition, it's page Shin Ayin Vav. And this is the last argument that the Chavis HaLevavis makes against the way of thinking that I can't really dedicate myself, take out my extra time for spiritual pursuit until I see myself materially set up for the long term. Only then can I really let go and really give of my time to engaging in my own growth. So this is what the Chavis HaLevavis refers to as Balei Mashkoines, people who demand collateral, people who demand securities from Hashem, people who demand securities from Hashem. They want him to give them cash up front in order for them to then dedicate themselves to him. So now we will see the last argument that the Chavis HaLevavis makes trying to uproot this way of thinking. Hashmi. So argument number seven is, Kamen Mashken is Chaveroi. If I demand collateral from you, one person to another, Einoi Memashkenoi, Ela Achen Sheyochol Lemalois, Mashem Mishkenoi Bavura Mehoina Oila. Meaning as follows. We keep giving the example of somebody who comes and he wants you to deliver him a shipment of goods. And you tell him, I need you to pay me up front. And this is the mashal Chavis is using with Hashem. Hashem wants you to dedicate yourself to the service. He says, I'll care for you as is good for you on a day by day, week by week, month by month basis. And you tell Hashem, no, if you want me to give you now my time, I need you to pay me up front. I need to see myself covered for the next foreseeable future. So he says, again, let's say you're telling somebody, I'm going to deliver you a shipment of goods, but I need the cash up front, okay? So you would only say that, it would only be right to say that, it would only be prudent to say that, once you're actually taking the check from him, you better know, or the cash, let's talk cash now, okay? You better know that you can actually deliver the goods. If you take that cash and then you're simply not in position to deliver the goods, so you're going to be in trouble. So hamimashken habayre yisbarach. If a person demands securities from Hashem, you know, Hashem, set up my next 10 years. I want to see my next 10 years set up, and then I'll be able to really dedicate my time to you. If you're demanding that of Hashem, you want Hashem to set you up in advance, will you then really be able to justify? He's going to give you parnasa now for the next 10 years, let's say. Theoretically, he's going to go along with you. He's going to set up your parnasa now for the next 10 years. Now you're in the position to deliver the goods? Are you really in position to justify that parnasa? When Hashem provides for you, you aren't really in position to pay him back. As we've already been discussing, if you really understand the nature of Hashem's good to you, you understand that you don't have a chance of even catching up with the taiva that Hashem did to you in the first 10 years of your life. You're going to be in minus toward Hashem for the rest of your life and afterwards, if we're just talking mathematics. So what are you telling Hashem? You tell Hashem, you provide me with 10 years of life. Sorry, you provide me with parnasa up ahead, and then I'll deliver the goods. What goods are you going to deliver? If you know that you're not going to be able to actually justify the parnasa that he gave you through your avoida, how brazen it is to expect it. Rather, we operate with the understanding that Hashem provides for us b'chesed. Hashem provides for us b'chesed. And therefore, we dedicate ourselves to him and we take humbly what he gives us as we go along. But as soon as we come and say, well, Hashem, there's like, you know, there's business here, you know, I need receipts and this and that, and therefore I need you to pay me up front, then you're basically putting yourself into a position where you're telling Hashem, you pay me and I'll deliver the goods. You don't want to be committing to that. You don't want to be telling Hashem officially, here, I'm going to pay you for what you gave me. You can't. Sha'odim ha-tzadik, even the greatest tzadik, eineno pireah choyvis toivas elikim olav elav eizo elikim loy. Now he takes it a further step, and he says even more than that. And when you do deliver the goods, it's because he is assisting you in doing that. So the whole thing here is so off. If you feel like, Hashem, I need you to pay me up front, and then I can dedicate myself to you. Now again, we're saying this in the coarse way that the Chavos Halevavos is putting it down, but this is a subtle mentality that many of us have of feeling like, first I need to say myself set up before I can really give of my time. And this is the Chavos Halevavos is trying to get us to relate to it as simply a chutzpah. And he says, even if you will deliver the goods, you have to realize that it's because Hashem is helping you do so. You know, I'll give you another example. I'll give a mashal ma'adav adayna, because some of us is saying here. You have a wealthy man who has a soup kitchen. He has a soup kitchen. Poor people are welcome to come. This just reminds me, not really connected, but it reminds me and it's inspiring, so I'll share this. Some 10, 12 years ago, we were in Borough Park for Shabbos for my brother-in-law's Shabbos Sheva Brochas. It was one of these small halls, for smaller affairs, our mitzvah Sheva Brochas. And we were there Shabbos. And somebody said to me, it's kedai to go downstairs. It was two floors. We were upstairs. It's kedai to go downstairs. Look what's going on in the other hall. We went downstairs and it really was an amazing sight. The owner of the hall, every Shabbos, he would set up, he would cater a whole meal that was simply open to the poor. All kinds of people. He walked in there and saw a very eclectic collection of people sitting around the tables. This is what he did every Shabbos. He catered simchas on the top floor, and on the bottom floor, he was catering a meal for the poor. So take such a person. Okay, a person has a kitchen that's open for the poor. The way it works is, he's providing beautiful meals. The one thing that he can't really do is provide dishwashing services. Can't do that. So how does it work? A poor man comes in, comes over to him, says, can I have a place to sit? Can I have a meal? Certainly, the Balabais responds. But first, I need you to wash yourself a plate. You have to wash yourself a plate and cutlery. Wash yourself a plate, a fork, a knife, and a cup, and go sit down. Have a seat. So the poor man says to him, 1 minute, you expect me to wash a plate? How do I know if the meal is really good? How do I know if it will justify that effort on my part? I'm not willing to wash a plate now. I'll have a meal. If the meal is to my satisfaction, I'll wash a plate afterwards. It's a shkoyach, Michael Tavis. You don't have to come in here. Right? So this is basically what the Chavos Halevavos is telling us with Hashem. The whole business here is just Hashem's chesed. The fact that he put you in position to expect, he put you in position to be concerned about the coming years, Parnassus, there's already a chesed on his part. You exist because he's holding your existence in place. And you're coming and telling him, I need you to provide for me up front. Now, even more than that, when you do deliver the goods, you're doing it because he's helping you. It's not even like you're really delivering the goods. He is enabling you to do that. He's giving you the energies. He's making your body parts work. So, It's like one of the what pious man said when he was extolling Hashem. He said, even the person who knows you well, meaning even a person who was very achieved a lot, very accomplished in avodas Hashem, he still can't give himself credit for having achieved so much in avodas Hashem. Rather, he himself must feel overwhelmed by the rachamim that he received in order to achieve these accomplishments. Because you guided his mind, his heart in the right direction. So basically, what the last point that the Chavos HaLevavos is saying is, if you demand payment up front from somebody, you can only do that if you can figure on delivering the goods. But if A, you can't really compensate for what you got up front, then don't ask for it. And that's how it is with us with Hashem. We're not going to be able to really repay him for the chasad that he does for us. And B, he says, even what you do deliver to Hashem, it's because he is mamish there, guiding you and helping you make it happen. So therefore, the Chavos HaLevavos comes back to his point. This is really the point that he's making here. And this is the point that's relevant to us. None of us are consciously thinking in these terms. None of us are consciously thinking in terms of, Hashem, I expect you to pay me up front. No one thinks of it that way. The Chavos HaLevavos often does that. He takes a more subtle, common mindset and puts it into very stark terms that it's almost like it goes over your head because you think, well, nobody thinks, I don't think that way. But what he really wants of us is the ability to understand that there is a chiyuv ishtadlus. You have to take out time. You can't spend your entire day just engaged in direct spiritual pursuit because you have to take out time for ishtadlus, to care for your material affairs. When you're doing it right, it's a mitzvah. But the Chavos HaLevavos is telling us that does not mean that you should be taking out time or putting in all your time in caring for the long-term future. Hishtadlus is justified. You care for yourself in the broad here and now. I keep saying broad because I'm not getting into, does it mean for today? Does it mean for the week? Does it mean for the month? Let's leave that aside. Let's understand the concept. The concept is that you care for yourself in the broad here and now. That's where Hishtadlus is relevant. But beyond that, if you have more time, that time should be dedicated to Avodas Hashem, even though you could be setting up the next year and the year after that in this time, so that then I'll really be able to dedicate myself to Hashem. Some of us are saying, no, don't think that way. If beyond setting yourself up in the general here and now, you have more time, dedicate that time to Hashem. As for the long-term future, there we apply bitachon, leave that up to Hashem. Let go of that. Let go of that concern. That's what he's saying. Let go of that concern and leave that up to Hashem. Chavos HaLevavos, on the contrary, we can understand how prevalent the way of thinking this is from the fact that he decided to dedicate an entire perek to it. So let's understand that it's not just that ridiculous sounding way that he put it, that you're demanding collateral upfront, but he's really addressing a subtle mindset that is quite natural, actually, and really needs to be overcome in order to get onto this track. Okay. Now we move on to Perek Shvi, the seventh and final Perek of Shaar HaBitachon. V'kevon sheishlamnu b'shaar hazeh, once we have completed in this shaar, we've comprehensively studied the subject. What remains to be discussed is to make ourselves aware of the inhibitions, the impediments to true bitachon in Hashem. What are they? And I will say that kimafside hasharim akodim basefer hazeh kulam mafsidim habitach. The things that we discussed that work against the midas that we've been trying to acquire in the earlier parts of the sefer, they also work against bitachon. Meaning as follows. We learned Shara Bechina. Shara Bechina preceded Shara Bitochen, Shara Bitzadikim. For us, that was the first Shara we learned. We learned Shara Bechina. Shara Bechina was about learning to appreciate, to sense and appreciate all of the chesed that we receive from Hashem. And the Chinuch Havavos told us, what are the things that work against that? The things that work against that are a mentality of, well, first of all, not a lack of appreciation of all the good that we're getting from Hashem. That lack of appreciation comes from two things. First of all, it comes from the fact that we were born into so much of Hashem's goodness. And therefore, it's hard to really be amazed by it. And also the fact that, in general, our focus is on what we don't yet have, rather than our focus is more outward rather than inward. So therefore, in a general way, what we're saying now is, a person who has not really learned to note, to sense all the chesed that Hashem is doing with him in his life, will have a very hard time with bitachon. Because bitachon is not just meant to be a leap of faith. Bitachon is meant to be a natural result of the fact that you see Hashem caring for you, that you are really internalizing how much He's cared for you and how much you depend on Him on a regular basis. Otherwise, if up till now, up until the point that you learned Shara Bitachon, you were in control of your life, and all of a sudden you're being asked to let go and give it to Hashem, it's a very hard thing to do. But it has to come from a place of, no, I'm learning to see quite how little I've always been in control and quite how much Hashem's been caring for me. When you really start sensing that, bitachon can follow more naturally. And therefore, that's point number one, he's saying. Lack of appreciation, not having really contemplated and internalized and studied all the chesed that Hashem is doing for us all the time, will hold a person back from acquiring true bitachon. Okay, that's the beginning. We'll end here for tonight. Bezos Hashem.